This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. It looks like martial law on the streets of Brussels, Belgium. A lockdown of Brussels while authorities try to disrupt the communities of Muslim citizens in their midst, believed to constitute a network of radicalization in Europe. Federal officials at first described what they said was a serious and imminent terror threat. Then the government responded to questions about widespread raids all around the city.
The Federal Prosecution's Office and the Brussels investigating judge specialized in terrorist cases ordered a total of 19 house searches in the Brussels region.
Eric van der Sipt is a spokesman from Belgium's prosecutor's office. 16 suspects were arrested in all those raids. But Salah Abdeslam, one of the terrorists behind the Paris attacks, whose picture has been flashed across the world, was not among them. Andy Townend is a photographer and writer in Brussels. He lives in the neighborhood of Molenbeek, a predominantly Muslim community in Brussels, one that has come to be described as a breeding ground for jihadists. Townend says it will be some time before Molenbeek is able to live all this down.
Look, I think at the moment it has a bad reputation, which is very unfortunate. It is a quite a distinct suburb of Brussels, but unfortunately at the moment a very small minority of people have given it a very bad name, which is very sad.
Give me a sense of the demographics of the place.
It is largely an African and Islamic community. So I'm living in Molenbeek myself at the moment, and I'm a bit of an ethnic minority. But I've never felt scared on the streets. It is quite different. It has a very distinctive community feel. You know, there are some great, very colourful markets there. But it is quite distinct from the remainder of Brussels. And, you know, it is slightly set apart, I guess.
How much has this alert and this sense of vigilance that the government has encouraged and is actively involved in raids around the city, how much have they ratcheted up this tension and suspicion of neighbor to neighbor?
Well, it's been very strange. I mean, we're now into the third day of what's been called the Brussels lockdown, where there are, you know, hundreds of soldiers on the streets. There are raids taking place. But I'm living in Molenbeek, and although we've seen a lot of police activity, we've had helicopters overhead and all the rest of it, the sense on the street is still quite friendly. You know, I mean, I as I say, I don't feel intimidated walking around. And I spoke to a lady from the local community just on Saturday night, and she was expressing her sadness, really, that the area got a reputation and was being sort of badged as some kind of center of terrorism, when in fact the problems are being caused by just, you know, a relatively small number of people.
Are there checkpoints around the city?
Well, there aren't any formal checkpoints, but I know yesterday, for example, during the evening, there was some activity in the Grand Place, which is the very heart of Brussels, and I believe the police had kind of secured some areas because there was some kind of operation underway, and they were very anxious, in fact, to make sure that social media didn't report on what was going on, although I don't think they succeeded in that. So there are no formal checkpoints, but there are armoured vehicles and soldiers everywhere. I was in the centre of town on Saturday, and I saw, I know, 8 or 10 armored vehicles all in a convoy patrolling around. So there's a huge show of force on the ground, which is quite remarkable, even by Brussels standards.
And when the police say that their raids have resulted in foiling of plots that were in sort of in process, any sense of what they're talking about?
It's very difficult to say, but I mean, the main impact of the lockdown has been the total shutdown of the underground metro services. Now, obviously, I can't speak for them, but buses and trams on the surface have continued, albeit there have been a lot of interruptions. Trains have continued. There are soldiers all over the place, but the metro has been completely sealed down. So one can only assume that perhaps they had some sense of something happening on the underground metro system, but I really don't know.
But as far as a duplicate of what went on in Paris, there's no specific outlining of, you know, commandos with suicide vests, that sort of thing.
No, nobody's been talking about that kind of thing. No, I mean, the Prime Minister was on the television just through the weekend, very pointedly saying that they had very firm, specific evidence of specific threats, but it's very difficult to say what. I mean, all I can say is, as an observer and a photographer of what's been happening, is there's been a massive military presence at all of the major public areas in Brussels. And in fact, this weekend should have been an incredibly busy weekend, you know, in the weeks running up to Christmas. And on Saturday, the place was a ghost town. Yesterday there were more people in the city, but nowhere near as many as usual.
How long can they keep this going? I mean, in a sense, if you relax it and something happens, then you've really made a mistake.
Well, it's a real tough call. I mean, I was in London on the 7th of July 2005 when the terrorists did actually strike. And I was one of many people who the very next day was back on the underground going to work and carrying on life as normal. So to shut down a city's transportation system and have troops on the streets for 3 days is already quite remarkable. And many people are sort of asking the question you're asking. I mean, you know, it's very difficult. They're a tough call. I mean, what do they do? If they hadn't shut the city down this weekend and something happened, they'd be blamed. If they paralyze parts of the public transport system, they're also blamed. It's a tough call.
Andy Townend is a photographer and writer speaking to us from Brussels. Thanks so much, Andy.
Thank you.